Okay.
You can turn it down.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's pick back up at verse 49. We may have went a little further, but let's just go back to verse 49 and start there. Where Paul says in verse 49, "And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." And this is consistent where Paul talks about the resurrection. Every time I read this, I always think about, I go back to the purpose. Like we talked about the guy who said the thing is love. Well, God's idea is love, of love is his value, is he sees the value in you. That's love, is to see the value in the person. And what Paul saw was what God saw. What Paul saw in the Corinthians, he didn't see the carnality. Well, he saw that, but his focus was not the carnality, the going to law. His was what?
The end game. He was focused on the end game.
The end game. You know, not just the END game, but the IN game too.
In Christ.
That's
them in Christ.
Right. This is when you trusted Christ, he has this, what he has in mind for you. You don't know that. But that's where the information, the education comes in, where to get in, IN, when you get in, then get in, and then get to the end, is what to see what it's all about. And he, when he writes to them, his mind is, when he finishes up, he'll say this in 16, he says, "Quit you like men." In 16:13, says what? "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." In the next verse, he says, "Let all your things be done with charity." He says, "You know what? God loves you." He says, "I love you. Now you what? You love too. Love who? Each other. That's the body. Help each other get in." Like, you know what I mean. Get in. Get to the end. And he says, that's what this is about.
Which was why the love chapter, the charity chapter, is all about the truth about all of this, understanding. It's just not salvation, but the end game. And
right. Do you notice he gives those qualities he gives in chapter 13, the love qualities? And then he goes right to the next, to toward the end of that chapter, and he starts talking about this. About the word. Why? Okay, flip back there just for a minute. 1 Corinthians 13. I just knew that, you know, I said, we can probably breeze through 16. 13.
He goes, stop having breezes like that.
It's not about finishing the book.
I know. I know you guys say that. In 13, he starts talking about, when he talks about love, and he talks about charity, all the things that encompasses a charitable person. And when he finishes, he says, in verse 8, he says, "Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And I'm thinking that he goes all the way from charity, and then he starts talking about what we know is the scripture. Because the Corinthians, they were caught up in the gift, not the purpose of the gift. They, look at me speaking tongues. Look at me, look what I can do. But they didn't know that the reason that God even gave them those gifts was to grow them all up in his purpose and in his plan. You know, it's like trying to think it's like giving a kid money. Just give them all $5. And what they do is roll them up and shoot spitballs with them. They don't realize that it's, you know, this is for you to have some, from, like, some value in it, for you to progress. But they don't see, they see it as a plaything. And that's a bad example, but that's the only thing I can think of. But when God, when he gave them the gifts, when he gave them all those gifts, it was for them to grow as a body. Until they came into the understanding, the full understanding, what God was doing and wanted to do in the midst of them and with them. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Where as long as you are not aware of that, then you'll misuse the assets that you have. In that case, they misused the gifts they had for themselves and not for the edification of the body.
And not understanding that they were a means to an end, not the end itself.
Not the end itself. So he gives them, he says, all right, I'm going to do this, then we're going to get back to Corinthians.
Where
are 15. Where he gives that, the main thing was apostles, prophets, right? Teachers. When he said this, what, prophecies, tongues, what's the other one?
Knowledge.
Well, they all have to do with the production of the Word of God and the proclamation of it and the edifying of the body. So he uses this. He gives these. This is in Ephesians. This is in Corinthians. The same principle is here. He gives them, look at, when he says, he gives these till we, till they become what?
Mature.
A man, right. mature. He says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spake as a child, understood as a child. What are all these words, what do they have in common? Thought, speech, understanding, what does it have in common? It's all based on your what? Your knowledge. And if you're a child, you don't have an adult conversation with children. They're not on the same level, are they? If you took your taxes home to Rachel, maybe she can do it, to the little kid. What's the little kid's name?
Aiden.
Aiden. You take your taxes home. You're late now, but the tax, if it was Mark, let's say it was April. You take your taxes home and give them to Aiden and say, I need these filled out by the 15th, if it was the 14th. What do you think he'd do with that paper?
Eat it.
Because he's what?
He's a child.
He's a child. So if you give these great gifts to the babies, what do you think they're going to do?
Misuse them.
What did they do? misuse them. he says, what you guys are doing, he says, that's going to pass.
God's going to take away their toys.
He said, there's going to come a time where, right, the toys will have to be put up. He says, where you got prophecy, one day, that's going to fail. Tongues, it's going to cease. Knowledge, pass away. And he said, what day is that? That's the day, he says, when you see clearly what's happening and what God wants to happen. And then he uses this terminology. He says, and face to face, then I'll know as unknown. And we talked a little bit about that last week. Not exactly about being changed, the glory of the Lord changing us into his what?
Image.
To his image. And all this is, and we went back to Genesis, we talked about the image, when God made Adam in his image, was not just the way he looked, but it was the same word we talked about where we get the word icon, the same word is character. I know that's not how you spell it, but let's go with it. It's not just what's inside. It was not only his visible appearance, but it was also what was inside of him. The character. You know, if you say, what is his character? That doesn't mean, what did he look like? It means, what's what?
What he is like.
What he is like. If you got a computer, everybody's got a computer, you'll see this sometimes on your computer. Like it'll be
the little arrow.
Yeah, well, and sometimes it looks like this. That's an icon. And the real thing looks just like what?
The icon.
Well, that's image. The word says that Christ is the image of the invisible God in character and in form.
So when he say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he's talking about in and out.
In and out. And that's why he said, when he makes Adam in his image, what was Adam?
The image of God.
He was like a what?
Little
God. Just like a little God, a little icon. That's why he says, this is your job. I formed you. I formed you to look like me. Now I want you to be like me. And so he gives him a job and he tells him to do what? You have what?
Dominion
and rule and authority. Guess what he gave up? So when he falls, then he gets another man in his image. Well, he lost some things, didn't he? And every man after that has been trying to recover that. And then all of a sudden we get saved, and he says, guess what?
You be transformed.
He says that we were created after the image of him. Stay right here. Do you read that in Ephesians where he says, put on the new man who was created after the image of him? Well, that should tell you, that should give you a little insight into the job that you have, that he has for you, for us. Not just to look like him, to be fashioned like to his glorious body, but also what?
Character.
You know, I like one of the things he said. He says, in the lesson, he says, if I'm going to hell, I might as well act like it. But what the Lord says now, if you're going to heaven,
you might as well act like it.
We don't think that far, do we? We're like, we just say, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to sit back and enjoy the ride. He says, no, if you're going, you might as well act like it. Walk worthy of wherewith you were called. So, anyway, you see where all those things have to do with the Word of God and equipping them, really equipping them to be this. No, not to be this. Equipping them to understand that this is where they're headed. Where Romans 8 says that we're to be conformed to the image of His Son. Process. One day He says, I'm going to do it. That's what the resurrection does. It just seals the deal that He's already started. It finishes it off. Do you know how great that is, where God says, you know what, you can get some of this done right here? You're like, really? Really? Like, how much? How much? You can say, well, you know what, I'm not going to get it all done, so I'm not even going to get started. But look what you cheat yourself out of. Isn't that something? So, that is, even with that, we didn't cover that when we went over it, only because it was so much, I just cut it like way, way down. Anyway, let's, 1 Corinthians, he says, we go back to 15. He says, 49, he says, as we have borne the image of the earthy, verse 49, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now, Jenny, this ain't going right. This is not going up there. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. So, you know what? I saw today there was a guy came in, the pest guy. You know, the guy goes around. And our original guy, I guess he quit. But this guy came in, the new pest guy. And I saw him, he's walking like this. He's old, he's kind of, you know, I'm thinking, when he said flesh and blood can't inherit, that guy's not equipped for that job. Yeah. He's got to do a lot of walking, a lot of bending, and that's a big building. I'm thinking,
does he get
how many stops do you have? I don't think you can handle this. But I don't know how old he was, but I'm thinking, God, He knows, you know, with this earthy, the earthy one, is not fit for the job that we have. We were talking about last week about the spacesuit, not just for transportation reasons, but it's also to be consistent with what the image, what's expected from the image. Righteousness, justice.
Everything.
I couldn't think of another word. Everything.
Holiness.
Huh?
Holiness.
Holiness. All those things is that, you know, that was lost. And he said, this is what's recovered. Then it could be, when we were talking about the Moses, we know, whenever they did, they started off with 12. For governmental, that's a number for service. It was governmental service. It was for them. That's why you had 12 tribes. That's why when Moses picks them, he picks the leaders from the 12 tribes. You go through to the Gospels, it's 12 tribes, 12 thrones. You get to Revelation, it's 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12. And that's associated with Israel. But that's the way he uses it. It's always for, and really what it is, he says, we gave up everything for you, Lord. What do we get? He says, I'm telling you that those of you who followed after me, he says, you will reign just like me. Didn't he?
Yeah.
Now you have two that hadn't even started yet. And they said, guess what, Lord? He says, I want to be here, my brothers are going to be here. Nothing's happened. They haven't given up anything. They just started. And he said to them, he says, I can't do that. It's not for me to give you. And then he said this, if you want to do this, you got to give it all to them. Serve them. Pride won't do that. So to tie that back to the Corinthians, he says, now the first thing I got to do is for the Corinthians is to get rid of you. Because my goal is this. Not that. Got to get rid of you to form that. That's a hard process, isn't it? We don't like to die. And we don't like to be killed. We certainly don't want to be killed. Did y'all hear that? That was great. We don't want to die, but we certainly don't want to be killed. Let me elaborate. Oh, that was good.
Let me repeat myself.
Get on your
we levels. Don't want to die. We don't want to give up our fleshly desires. And I certainly don't want you telling me that I have to give up my fleshly desires. I don't want to be killed. I don't want to die, and I don't want you to kill me.
You're trying to take
it
away from me.
That's right. If I'm going to do it, I want to do it on my own. I certainly don't need you telling me I need to die. Wasn't that good, though? It was a one-man joke. Okay, he says, flesh and blood won't inherit, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. And this part of the fact that our inheritance is in heavenly places, he has to equip us for the new residence. You can't go up there with this.
And right after following his resurrection, he was like flesh and bone. So even he had to transform
That's a good point. She didn't say flesh and blood. She said flesh and what?
Bone.
And that's, you can say all the things, but you know what? The Lord had a I'll stick with scripture. He had a glorious body. What?
Well, I was just thinking about it, flesh and bone. You know, you had the structure of the tabernacle, flesh, skin, the laying out of the boards, the bone. But he was the last and final sacrifice. There was no need for blood any longer.
Yeah.
Right. No, Leviticus says the life of the flesh is what?
In the blood. Now he's the life.
That's what in Colossians says, Christ who is our what?
Life.
He says our life is hid with God in Christ. Hid with Christ in God. Hid with God in Christ. But, you know, it's interesting, and I'm just going to say this and move forward, is when she talked about the tabernacle being like just like Christ.
Flesh and bone.
Yeah. Nah, I was just going to move on.
You're going to take us down that path and make us say it?
But we have to put on this mortal, we're getting there, but flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you think about it, it's the natural, what he's telling us is that the natural man...
Because the natural and the spiritual.
Right, right. The natural versus what?
So it's like
love
and
he gives you all those things. He's telling you mm-hmm. over and over again the contrast. The natural man cannot inherit the spiritual realm. They don't get the spiritual things. It goes back to the second things that we were talking about is
man can understand. Mm-hmm.
Not the first Adam, the second Adam. You know, not the Ishmael, Isaac. Not Esau, but Jacob. Not David, not Saul, David. On and on. Not Saul, Paul. Not the Simon Peter, not Peter, Simon Peter. Oh, over and over, 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 not Edmund, Ed.
Not Abram, Abraham.
Yeah.
Not Sarah. Yeah, I mean, you can go through it. It's just the fact that that's what he wants to draw in our mind is, not your natural state, but...
And you can't mix the two, just like you can't mix law and grace.
You can't mix them. Not law, but grace. Not Moses, but Joshua. You know what took him in? Moses got up there. Moses got him up there.
Faith took him in.
He got him right there, and he says, okay, bye-bye.
That's what you get.
And he begged him. He begged God. He said, let me go over. He said, I'll take you up and I'll let you look at it. You know what he said to him? Do you know what he said to Moses?
Not offhand, I'm breathless.
Oh, man. Let me see if I can find it. This is great. Let's see. Exodus. Maybe it's Deuteronomy. Let's see.
Yeah, it's Deuteronomy 34.
Huh? Oh, 34? Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy 34. No, that's not what I want. Okay. Let's start at 34, verse 1, and maybe the verse will come to me. He says, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and all the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it to thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre until this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Now, that's not what I wanted, though. But the you see where the Lord let him see it. He let him go over and look, but he couldn't go in. Because you can't mix the two. You know what? What's interesting is this. Let me ask you a question. This is just out there. Think about it for a couple of seconds before you answer. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. What does that mean?
He wasn't old.
He wasn't old. Or what else? He was old, 120.
He wasn't deteriorating.
He wasn't deteriorating.
Falling apart with
us. Which, he's what? He retained what?
A little bit of his incorruptibleness from Adam. They didn't have their gene pool muddy like we did.
Yeah, you look warm. He said his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. His eye was not dim. That means he didn't need, and his natural force was not abated. He still had his strength. Who is he? What does he stand for?
The law.
What does that tell you?
Law.
What's strong?
The law.
The law. That's, you know what? The law never loses its effect. It should always be strong enough to do what? Prove you guilty. It'll always be there.
Well, it's the perfect right and wrong. That never changes.
That never changes. And Moses is he is the embodiment of the law. I mean, he's the lawgiver. And that's why Joshua was the spiritual man, and Moses being the first man. But the Lord had the little lesson there is that he gives that example that the law is strong.
He's not above the law.
He's not above the law, but he's telling us here that because he is a symbolic of the law, he will never lose his strength. Paul said this, the law is good.
If a man uses the law.
It never... He says the law is for the knowledge of, the law is always going to be there to show you that you're bad. It won't be diluted in its effectiveness. Okay, I just do that. It was right there.
Ignoring its penalty, because to those who don't believe, it supplies 100%.
It doesn't. He's not going to compromise it just because you don't like it.
But he's love.
Do you see that justice?
Yeah. Okay.
But that's not the verse I wanted. I'm going to try to find this in a couple of minutes here. If not, we'll just have to move on. Let's see. 30. Well, I guess I'll have to tell you, since it's not jumping out at me. Well, we started at Deuteronomy 30. When we did 34:1, let's see. Deuteronomy, what? What's in the verse is.
The Lord tells him why he's not going to
get there. Yeah, the Lord tells him why he's not going to see it.
Can you think of a search word?
Oh, I know the whole verse. I want you to read it.
Well, we're going to. We can find it.
If I tell you, then it'll lose.
There's a lot of dead air on that CD.
Okay. I thought you could edit that out. Okay. Well, anyway, he said this. I tell you, look, check this out. It says, speak to me and see what that shows up.
Speak to me. Oh. Moses.
And the Lord said, speak to me.
And Lord, why are you crying out to me? No, tell the Israelites to move on. Okay. Speak to me, and the Lord... Speak to me, and the Lord... Is that what you said?
Okay. We'll come back to that. Back to Corinthians. We'll find it. That's okay. Corinthians, he says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Well, you see that? He's telling the Corinthians about the resurrection that they didn't really believe, some of them. He said, this must happen because this is consistent with the plan.
You're talking about why. You're not looking for a place where it flat out tells you why you can't go to the promised land. You're looking for the event, right? Numbers 20. I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on.
You know what? I knew you guys wouldn't be able to shake that off. I was hoping we could move past that and that we would come back to it. But you know what? That's what happens when you chase a rabbit. You always looking for the head to bob. You said Numbers 20?
Yeah. I mean, that's 7 through 13. Is that why?
Yeah, that's it.
7 through 13?
Yeah, that's it.
7?
Numbers 20.
Numbers 20.
7 through 13? I don't know. When he's beating the rock,
you're
not supposed to hit it.
Well, and he also talks about that in Deuteronomy 32, starting at 28. Why you can't go.
Oh, okay. That's probably.
Yeah. 20's the event,
okay.
You're reading when he's talking to, so it's probably the Deuteronomy 32.
32? Deuteronomy
32? Well, I thought, but it's not the book, particularly. Start with the verse you were talking about.
The event is more like 2012. Numbers 2012 is where.
What does Numbers 2012 say?
And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them.
Okay, no. That's
look at this. Look at 32, 48.
32, 48.
And the Lord spake unto Moses that self same day, saying,
that's it, when you get to 51.
Yeah. Let's see.
Because you trespassed among wrong against me.
No, that's not it either. 51. No. 51?
Yeah.
51. No, that's not it. That's not it.
Just quote it to us at this point.
I know.
If you quote it, we find it.
Isn't that making you mad? I'm sorry. I'm apologizing.
That's for that flesh of
it. Let's see. All right. If I don't find it in the next 30 seconds. Well, let's go back to. Can we go back to Corinthians first?
Sure.
All right. And then we'll find it when we are done with Corinthians.
Okay. Well.
He says, "This mortal, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We shall all be changed. That even the Corinthians that didn't believe. He says, we shall all be changed." In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump.
It's been a long day.
For the trumpet. No, I was looking.
Everybody's
still thinking about Moses.
Moses.
Okay. We'll pick up at 52 next week.
All right,
let's go back to Moses. Okay. Deuteronomy 34. Let me see what I'm going to find this because I said it was just something that I thought was pretty exciting to me, and I wanted you to look at it. Let's see. Where all those, everything you guys said was great because those are the reasons why he wouldn't let him go over and look. Well, he let him look at the land, but
he disobeyed, right?
Right, that's why he couldn't do it. He disobeyed. We know that.
He did so in disbelief?
He...
he was supposed to speak to the rock, and I did the rock.
Yeah, that's it. That's part. Those are the parts that we know that God told him not to do this, and we know why he didn't have him go over there. But in this particular verse, this is where Moses is talking to God, and God gives. He was begging God to let him go over. So we'll find it. That won't take long.
Might have wanted to just stop the recording.
I don't know.
What we'll do, yeah, we'll stop the recording, right.